Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Monday, April 15, 2019. Sudanese protesters continue to demand for change.
But when yesterday the spokesman of the military council announced the acceptance of Mr. Salah Ghosh, people were very angry and the sit-in was very strong again and saying they want the dissolution of security service, they want to put all officials on trials.
And the Association of Sudanese Professionals vow to fight for change in Sudan through peaceful means.
Our goals and demands are very clear, you know, from the beginning to bring this regime down. So instead of resigning al-Bashir or two or three of his colleagues, this is not our entire demand. So our entire demand should be achieved, you know, by bringing down the whole regime.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Protesters in Khartoum today continue their sit-in near the Sudan military headquarters despite a brief attempt by soldiers to clear them away. Protesters say they are not leaving until the military, which removed President Omar Hassan al-Bashir last week, agrees to let a civilian government immediately take office. One point of contention for the protesters is the fate of Salah Ghosh, the former head of the National Intelligence and Security Service. He resigned Saturday, but many protesters say that he should be arrested for his role in Bashir's repressive government. Reporter Naba Mohyeddin is in Khartoum and has been covering the rapid changing situation there. She tells VOA's Kate Pound Dawson that for a few days after Bashir was forced to vacate office, protesters began to become divided. That has changed, however. Mohyeddin has more from Khartoum.
Protesters were divided into two. People say that there is no need for a sit-in anymore. And some people said, no, we have to sit-in because we don't trust military. And that was since Thursday after the announcement of the new man, Abdurrahman Burhan. But when yesterday the spokesman of the military council announced the acceptance of resignation of Mr. Salah Ghosh, people were very angry and the sit-in was very strong again and saying that they want the dissolution of security service, they want to put all officials on trials, and they even suspect the coup. They said that we didn't see anyone on trial, we didn't see anyone who was in jail. So right now they are seeking for proofs from military council, or they will continue in the sit-in.
What are some of the political developments, other than having Mr. Salah Ghosh resign? The government, the new ruling government, has arrested members of Mr. Bashir's cabinet. You know, what's going on with that?
The thing is, they announced that yesterday, and they said that they will put them on trials. But as I told you, some protesters say that even when al-Bashir regime came to power, they gave same promises. So unless they see them on trials, they will not believe that. And in another hand, in political scene, Army today, the military council, transitional council today, announced that they will restrict the army chief staff. And they appointed a new man called Hashim Abdul Muntalab as the head of the, as the chief of the army staff. And this guy was appointed by al-Bashir himself in February, 2 months ago. So people right now are really frustrated because they think most of the members in the council, they are Islamic somehow, or they are connected to al-Bashir somehow. So SPA, Sudanese Professional Association, calling people to protest and sit in till they have real proofs, and they think that the council is responding in very playful way and not real way. And they also announced that they arrested officials, and the only proof that this thing might happen is the NCP, National Congress Party, the ruling party, Al-Bashir Party, has issued a press release calling the military council to release the officials they arrest in the first days of the coup.
That was reporter Naba Mohyadin in Khartoum speaking with my colleague Kate Pound-Dawson. The deputy chairman of Sudan's Transitional Military Council, Mohamed Hamdan Daglo, met on Sunday with U.S. Tragedy Affair in Khartoum. The council said in a statement that the Tragedy Affair acquainted himself with the developing situations in Sudan. The reasons behind the formation of the Transitional Military Council and the steps made by the council to preserve security and stability in Sudan. Meanwhile, protesters remain camped outside the military headquarters in the capital Khartoum to demand a return to a civilian rule in the country. Zlatik Hawk reports for VOA from Washington.
Protests in the Sudanese capital continued for an eighth-day Sunday, with participants demanding a return to civilian government. The country's military leaders have ousted longtime leader Omar al-Bashir and sworn in a 10-member transitional council headed by General Abdel Fattah al-Burhan to rule the country. Protesters largely approve of the general but fear a return of dictatorship. A delegation representing protesters met with the military council late Saturday to demand that civilian representatives be added to the council and that a fully civilian government should be formed to run day-to-day affairs.
We will remain here until our demands are met. The first is to give power to the citizens, to hold the criminals accountable, to hand Bashir over to the international court, or to bring him to justice here in the country.
To placate protesters, Al-Burhan has ordered the release of political prisoners, lifted the nighttime curfew imposed by the council last week, and promised accountability for the killing of protesters. But his 10-member council includes military and police officers who have been accused of rights abuses. Protests began in December in the eastern city of Atbara after the government tripled the price of bread. They have since grown into a nationwide revolt against Bashir's 30-year rule. The armed forces took over Thursday, forcing the president to step down. Regional powers, including Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, and Egypt, backed the military council.
We support the Sudanese people's choices and how they seek to map the future. And we support the presence of Sudanese institutions, including the armed forces, and their ability to meet the will of the Sudanese people and get out of the current crisis.
But they also stressed the need for peace and stability. A political analyst in neighboring Egypt says removing Bashir from power does not solve Sudan's deep-rooted problems.
This is a country that protests were provoked by rise in prices. The price of bread jumped from £1 to £3. The same with fuel, very high prices. Now, the revolution got rid of the regime, but they don't have a solution for the economic crisis that is facing almost 50% of the population who are below poverty line. So the challenges are big.
Analysts say Sudan, like its neighbor South Sudan, could face famine, tribal warfare, security breakdown, and ultimately chaos. Zlatica Hawk, VOA News, Washington.
In the span of 3 days, Sudan's military council saw a change in top leadership, as well as the arrest of former government officials who served under the Bashir regime. Noha Zain, a Texas-based spokesperson for the Sudanese Professional Association, says the military council's move over the weekend to arrest former government officials is welcomed, but they have a list of demands that has not been realized.
This is one of our demands, you know. We are at the SBA and Declaration of Freedom and Change Forces. We gave already like 4 or 5 days ago a mandate to the Sudanese Armed Forces. And from that time, there was a recall from Abna Auf and for 30 hours, if you know, and then this new military council by General Burhan. And 2 days ago, the Declaration of Change and Freedom Forces, they sent a committee to meet him and provide, submit our demands. Our main demand is we want to transfer the power to civilian transitional government. And then to arrest all these old regime symbols, you know, from the president and his vice president and the old people in the past regime that were committed crimes and injustice action against Sudanese people.
Well, the military council also announced that they would remove protesters from the sit-in by force.
No, that cannot be done. You know, we are at this change and freedom forces. We continue in our sitting. We have two parallel lines. We continue our protesting in the sitting, and even we have lots of programs and activities done there since April 6th. And at the same time, with this line, we have a parallel line, which is continuing our general and political work or line with the military council to achieve our demands.
And now, what is left for the Sudanese Professionals Association? I've spoken to a number of people who say there's still a lot of work ahead.
Our goals and demands are very clear, you know, from the beginning, to bring this regime down. So instead of resigning al-Bashir or two or three of his colleagues, this is not our entire demand. So our entire demand should be achieved, you know, by bringing down the whole regime, not only two or three members, including al-Bashir of them. And the second demand that was not achieved till now, and that's why it is left, that to transfer or to hand over the power to a transitional civilian government, not by military council, like what's happening for the last 48 hours. So we gave a mandate to the Sudanese armed forces to take the power from al-Bashir regime and to hand over this power to a transitional civilian government that will take this power for 4 years and then to be like elective government by the end of the 4 years. This was the plan. But now the military council is not a plan to continue for 1 year.
That was Noha Zain, a Texas-based spokesperson for the Sudanese Professional Association, speaking with my colleague Ayen Deng Bior from Texas. Protesters are demanding for a technocratic government in Sudan. The protesters are also negotiating with the junta for a compromise. Sudanese reporter Ismail Kushkush says that is a tall order.
This is a government that has been entrenched in power for 30 years. It isn't going to give up on its power that easily. I think this represents one step, a recycling, you might say, of faces, but that's something that protesters are not going to accept. I mean, given the history of urban popular uprisings in Sudan and then what we saw in the region in Egypt, I think there's great distrust of the army. That they see that the army is simply trying to maintain whatever it can of gains, and any transition to a genuine civil rule will be opposed. And I think it's just saving the seats, basically. That's exactly what is happening.
Tell us more about some of these players in the military, specifically Lieutenant General Mohammed Ahmed Ibn Auf. Am I pronouncing it correctly?
Yes. He's a longtime member of the Army, has been involved in the campaigns in Darfur at the height of war there. Was also an ambassador at one point to Oman. He's a longtime ally of al-Bashir. He was brought in closer to the circle of Bashir's allies after his February speech last February.
So if he was his right-hand man in Darfur, I mean, the people aren't going to be satisfied with that, are they? I heard that cries rang out immediately after they made the announcement that they would suspend the constitution, dissolution of government, the curfews, and then people started groaning, you know, and the waves of groans were heard across the crowds, and some chants began, "We do not replace a thief with a thief."
Exactly. These faces are known to the Sudanese people. That they're the same faces that have been in power, that are very close to al-Bashir, that after months of protesting, what they see is the army simply maybe removing Bashir, but the key players are still there in power, and that's not what the protesters want.
we hear a lot from spokespeople for the Sudanese Professionals Association, which has been credited with organizing the protests. But they seem to be organizing from afar. Their spokespeople are in London and other places like that. Do they speak for the people, for most of the people, or who really do you think going to emerge as some of the technocrats and some of the leaders from the people? Who can step forward on behalf of the people?
The Professionals Association does have key organizers on the ground. It remains somewhat anonymous for security reasons, but yes, the main speakers are outside. One of their key leaders, Najil Assam, what is leading the protest is what is known as the Forces for Freedom and Change, which is an alliance of different groups that includes the historical parties and some of the rebel groups even. And they had put forward the idea of a civilian transitional council that includes many of the political forces in Sudan, along with seats for the military. That's their vision for what the transitional period would look like, and not this military council that it will be.
That's Sudanese reporter Ismail Kushku speaking to my colleague Carol Van Damme last week on the future of Sudan's next government. You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, we take a look at high prices of commodities in Yei Town. That story is coming up right after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today.
What traditional medicines do you take, if any?
I don't take any traditional medicine as a young, active African. I think I'm strong enough. I use water and more of the fruits. I think my parents do a lot of traditional medicine.
I haven't taken traditional medicine yet. I hope I never do, because I'm biased about traditional medicine. I think people put in so much spiritual things to make sure that their medicine works, so I'm not giving it a try.
Yeah, I take, but I don't know the biological names in English. Yeah, but I take there is this Mururuza. I don't know how they call it in English. And the aloe vera chigaji. Yeah, I take Mururuza and the aloe vera for treatment of malaria. Very good. Most of myself, I use it for much, too much.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus. Some residents of Yei Town are complaining about the rising prices for goods and services. The Yei River State Chairman of the Chamber of Commerce blames the prices on multiple taxes and illegal roadblocks along the Yei Juba Road. Daniel Friday Martin has this story for VOA from Yei.
Traders and shoppers say members of the South Sudan People's Defense Forces have ignored President Salva Kiir's orders for the removal of illegal checkpoints on the roads. Winnie Gaba lives in Yei Town. She says traders are overcharging consumers at the Dar el Salaam market.
Currently, the prices they are really raising up. By then, a kilo of sugar also is 120. But right now, when you go to the market, it is now 170, 115. So things are really expensive in the market. I asked the seller, they were telling me that they are being overtaxed. That's why they are increasing the thing in order for them to confiscate the money that was being taken from them. That's why they are now charging the things high. My message to the government, at least they should not overtax because they want to get more money like profit. They are now overtaxing us who are the ordinary people. I'm not happy of that.
Mabe Felix is a retail trader in Yei Town. Speaking in Arabic, Mabe says traders are charging customers to be able to make a profit on their goods.
A small body lotion which used to sell at 10 SSP now sells at 500 South Sudanese pounds. And the wholesalers have been complaining of taxes along the Yei Juba Road. And once they increase their selling prices, we also increase on ours so that we can get some profit. We want the government to restore peace so that prices of goods can drop like what used to be in the past.
a driver who identified himself only as lucky for fear of reprisals from the government, says government soldiers collect taxes at 22 checkpoints along the Yei Juba Road. Speaking in Arabic, Lucky says there are checkpoints at Atende, Limbe, Loka, Lanya, Ganji, Bungu, Amadi, and at the outskirts of Juba.
We were happy when the president announced that all the illegal checkpoints be removed. However, that is not happening, but instead more new checkpoints have been created. The money we are paying is too much. For me to reach Juba, I had to pay at least 25,000. The collectors are calling on different rates ranging from 1,500 and 2,500 SSP. And if you complain, you are beaten on top. And these are some of the challenges we are facing on Yei Juba Road.
Edward Luba, the chairperson for Yei River State Chamber of Commerce, appeals to the government to establish legal checkpoints controlled by officials from the revenue collection offices.
Things are rising on a daily basis because of the mud pole taxes. A box of soap that used to sell at 3,000 SSP is now 5,000 South Sudanese pounds. And a bag of sugar that used to be at 6,000 is now 11,000 South Sudanese pounds. And this happens because of taxes. Now we have relative peace and stability. We want the government to establish at least 3 tax collection points in Juba, Lanya, and Yei counties, so that prices in the market can drop.
Luba says, despite government's efforts to fight corruption in the country, millions of South Sudanese pounds collected at checkpoints go into the pockets of some individuals in the government. For VOA News, I'm Daniel Friday Martin in Yei Town.
From Yei, we move to Uganda, where a lot of refugees are saying they will not go back to South Sudan. South Sudan is left with 1 month for the formation of the transitional government of national unity. But the majority of refugees in Morobe, one of the biggest camps in Uganda, say they are not returning home because of insecurity. The refugees say they are not convinced South Sudan's warring parties will honor pledges made in the revitalized peace agreement. For VOA News, Wake, Simon Wudu reports from Juba.
Hundreds of South Sudanese refugees from former Kajukeji County of Yei River State receive monthly food ration at a distribution center in Morobe refugee camp in Moyo district of Uganda. The refugees say they are not returning home despite the signing of the revitalized peace agreement last September. 48-year-old Wadok Mohammed fled Kajukeji in early 2017 because of fighting between government forces and former rebels of the SPLM-IO. He says he will stay in Uganda for some time.
The reason why we are not returning is because we have fears. We have some of our people who returned there and they were killed. For example, one of our brothers called Lojuru Kudet and another gentleman who was a former policeman. He was also killed recently. Also recently, some people have been killed. Another gentleman, a civilian, was killed in Baji. Because of hunger, he went to collect cassava. Because the food ration we get is not enough. So this is the reason why we are fearing and we are not returning to Kajukeji.
Mohammed says life has not been the same for him since he fled his country. Each family member receives 12 kilograms of maize or flour from the UN a month. Mohammed says that is not enough to feed his family. 87-year-old Rhoda Jurujibi, who escaped to Uganda in 2017 for the fourth time, says South Sudanese leaders should turn to God and repent their sins. Speaking in Kuku language, she says she is not going back home.
How can I go back? Has the genuine peace returned already? I want a real peace. If the guns are laid down, then we can return. It's obvious that we are just staying here temporarily. We will be returning home But when we return, we don't want another outbreak of conflict again.
Bishop Mangwe Alex of the Free Charismatic Church says the parties to the peace agreement should create a safer environment for refugees returning home.
On various occasions, which are beyond the understanding of the implementing partners and the negotiating teams, there are pockets of missing people in various areas of South Sudan, where reports are going, reaching the camps of people losing their lives.
Under the peace agreement, the warring parties are to establish a new transitional government of national unity on May 12. Mohammed says he expects the new government to lead South Sudan into a new era free of conflict.
If the new transitional government is formed, we need to see respect of people's rights, including conducting elections. And people should not be tortured and killed. All the rebels and opposition leaders and groups should come home so that we can build our country, which got independence not too long ago.
The spokesman of the South Sudan People's Defense Force, Major General Lulroy Kwong, says the peace agreement has brought stability to most parts of South Sudan.
The latest revitalized peace agreement has brought stability. It was, with exception of part of Yei, its racial awareness was still carrying out offensive operations against the local population and against the National Army. But out of 11th of February, this year up to now, we have not received reports of not attacking either munitions or civilian targets.
South Sudan in Focus could not reach the SPLA-IO spokesman for comment on the security situation in Yei River State. Repeated phone calls to Colonel Lampaul Gabriel went unanswered. For VOA News, I'm Wake Simon Wudu in Juba.
That's our show for this Monday. We now leave you with the song One Love by Antumpan.
All I need is your love, oh baby. So baby, don't dodge, just give me that, oh baby. All I ever need is your heart, oh. So give me that, oh girl, let me back, oh. Cause that is all I need. Obi towa doni bi, Obi pewa peni bi, peni bi. Obi towa doni bi, Obi pewa peni bi, peni bi. Girl, I dey love you not because of your bumper, bumper. Girl, I dey love you not because of your tongue, tongue. Girl, I dey like you for who you are. Not for your shape looking like guitar. Not for the sake of your shape guitar. Oh, hey. Girl, play 'em, girl, play 'em. Tinini, tono, no, tinini. Give me melody, give me melody. Your melody, your fabo, baby. Charlie, love will no be naira or dollar. Oga, it no dey matter whether you be short or tall. Obi towa doni bi, doni bi. Obi pewa peni bi, peni bi. Obi towa doni bi, doni bi. Obi pewa peni bi, peni bi. All we need is one love, oh baby. For the world to be a better place, oh baby. All we need is one heart. You know, go feel say you dey love God, oh. If you know they love your brother, so me tell you this. If you love him, make you show it, show it. If you ever try to stop it, control it, control it. Baby girl, make you roll it, roll it. It's a beautiful thing, so hold it, hold it. Somebody need ya, somebody want ya, somebody somewhere really care about ya. Baby, what you say? I true me telling you.
We've been listening to Antumpan with the song One Love. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
And I know you don't love you not because I'm a timba, timba. There is nothing love for love we conquer. Baby, yeah. So baby, make we stay together. Make we stay together. Oh, don't leave me.
love is all we need. Obi pe wa pe ni. One love is all we need.